We're staging a lot of work. There's still disaster work even in this area with a lot of homes that were destroyed in certain areas and communities, so we're feeding and serving in this community. We're using it as a staging area to deploy all of our canteens and personnel into the three states that are affected. They're mostly now going to Gulfport, Biloxi area, and New Orleans. And then down there we have other staging areas going from Baton Rouge into New Orleans, going from we just got a warehouse in Biloxi that we will start opening and staging so we can serve that whole Gulf Coast area from Pascagoula and Biloxi and Gulfport and Long Beach and all those small communities north of there. Also in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, we have staging, and there's tons of devastation still as far north as Hattiesburg and even Meridian, which is 150 miles north of the coast, work going on. So we have well over 100 canteens roving in all of those areas, feeding people, giving out clothing, giving out water. As truckloads of ice and stuff come in, we start giving that out too. We've given out well over 100,000 articles of clothing so far in the areas. We've served probably close to 400,000 meals by now in the three areas. We're providing spiritual counseling, pastoral support, just putting your arms around people who are emotionally devastated right now and just need somebody to put an arm around them and say, we love you, we care for you, there is hope, and we're going to be with you through this.
Any idea how many people you've helped?
Oh, gee. Hundreds, several hundred thousand. You know, it's just we've been feeding everybody. They've been putting on the buses to evacuate out of New Orleans. We've been averaging 40,000 meals a day just there. So that's been how many days? So it's probably 200,000 meals we've served just in New Orleans. And then you've got, you know, another well over 100,000 in the Gulfport, Long Beach, Biloxi area.
Of course, we've all seen the logistical problems of the relief operations following Hurricane Katrina. Now, the Salvation Army certainly is not new to natural disasters, but how have you managed to set up this operation, which sounds like a pretty large-scale operation?
Well, we have the resources of the entire nation at our disposal. I mean, it wasn't very long before our national commander called all four commissioners over the different territories in the United States. All four commissioners over the territory says we're standing and ready to send our canteens and our personnel in. And so right now they're in here from the Central Territory, from the Eastern Territory. We have folks here from New York, from Chicago. There's folks coming down from Canada. There's folks coming in from California. So the whole national resources of the Salvation Army have been made available. They're rolling in here by the truck fulls of personnel with stocked canteens. We've got spiritual care personnel. We've got logistic personnel. We've got human services personnel, you know, that are all on a command service team, incident command commanders. And, you know, we do disaster planning throughout the year and disaster seminars and disaster mock disasters with our volunteers and people so that when it strikes, we're ready. And the Salvation Army is in almost every community already so that they're used to feeding, they're used to housing every day of the year so that when disaster strikes, you put some more soup in the pot and you put some more sandwiches out and you just start doing mass feeding a lot more than you ever did before and calling in reserves and help.
You've been offering spiritual counseling. What has been the state of mind of many of the people that you've talked to?
There's shock. There's sorrow. There's thankfulness that they're alive. There's concern for their neighbor. There's concern for maybe family they haven't contacted yet or they can't get through to. And there's, you know, and you start seeing a glimmer of hope once we can get them fed. You know, and you just look around and they don't know what's next. You know, when you've lost everything you've ever worked for and you're sitting on a pile rubble with your children, and there's no job to go to. I mean, the job force is down. They're gone. The job no longer exists. So, you know, where is the hope for tomorrow? And you just sit on the pile with them and put your arm around them and say, you know, talk to me. I'll cry with you. I'll hold your hand, and I'll feed you, and I'll clothe you, and I'll take care of you till we can figure this out.
How long do you think it'll take to figure it out?
I'll pray God soon, pray God, very soon. This is months and years into that it's going to take to clean this mess up and to get people back into any sense of normal living, which may never be like it used to be. Some of them are never going home again. You pile all these people in buses and haul them out of New Orleans all over the states. You know, we're hearing they're going to Minnesota and Utah and Missouri and Texas and, you know, every state that surrounds these three states. And, you know, they're going to find jobs and they're going to get an apartment and they're going to establish another life somewhere else. And it's going to be a culture shock for the whole nation. I was talking to a friend the other day and I said, you know, you get people from a New Orleans culture and you land them in a Minnesota Lutheran community and it's culture shock for everybody. You know, and you repeat that all across the nation, when you get, you know, people who grow up in different areas of the country with their own colloquialisms and their own cultures and their own habits. You know, I said, have we created another Ellis Island within our own country?